listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
The music business hate me because the industry ain't make me. Hustlers and boosters embracing the music I be making. I dumb down for my audience and double my dollars. They criticize before, yet they all yell holla. If skill sold, truth be told, I probably be lyrically a top Talib Kweli. Truthfully, I want to rhyme like Common Sense, but I did 5 mil. I ain't been rhyming like Common Sense. When your sense got that much in common and you been hustling since your inception, fuck perception, go with what makes sense. Since I know what I'm up against, we as rappers must decide what's the most important. And I can't help the poor if I'm one of them, so I got rich and gave back to me. That's a win-win. The next time you see the homie and his rim spin, just know my mind is working like them, the rims, that is. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we are live on a Tuesday.
Yes, I think it's Tuesday.
Yeah, because we did that show in the middle of the day, but it was Monday.
Yeah, I know it messed you up.
Yeah, I thought it was like Sunday. I was like, is this Monday again? Groundhog Day. Anyway, we're live, ready to do some podcasting. Find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Search the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. We like all of those, and we read them on the air if they're nice.
Mm-hmm.
The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. Let's just get right into the show. Okay, today's podcast is brought to you by Go to Our Live Show. Okay,
mm-hmm.
We would love to see you all at our live show.
We would love to see all the wonderful faces.
Get tickets at theblackguywhotips.com/live2018.
Mm-hmm.
Show up, buy tickets, be there. If you might can be there, buy tickets. If you know people in Charlotte that you like, you should go check them out, even though I can't. Buy them some tickets. We like everybody to be there. We want to have a good time. So
we do.
A little over halfway sold out, but you know, no reason not try to keep selling all the tickets we can.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a little over about a month and a half till we're there. It's like September 20th.
Yeah.
So we're about to be in August, which means the end of the hotel deals is upon us. You have about 20 days.
Yeah, about the middle, towards the end of August.
Yeah, you have about basically 30 days before the event, and then the hotel deals that we so lovingly set up at theblackguywhotips.com/live2018.
Mm-hmm.
Go away, and then where are you?
You have to pay full price.
Sleeping on the streets.
We trying to help y'all with the discounts.
Mm-hmm. Now you're down at the La Quinta Inn. Nothing wrong with that, but that's where you're going to be. And you could have had a nice hotel downtown with a discount, with a nice view.
Having to ride at Uber when you just could have walked.
Mm-hmm. Could have walked right across the street to the event. Now you're going to be downtown wondering what's going on. All right, let's talk about news. All kinds of stuff is happening on the news. Amid turmoil in Papa John's, top ranks and average employees suffer. That's right, guys. So looking bad for old Pajon there. Even though they got rid of their CEO who was suing them.
Yep.
Because, you know, white men do not go blindly into that. They do not go timidly into that dark night.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
You have to force them to go away. Or either pay them to go away. One of the two.
Well, apparently, they've lost a ton of business.
Yes.
Yeah. They said revenue is expected to drop about 12% this week. Over last year's figures, two of them report, I have absolutely had to cut hours. It's heartbreaking, but I still have a labor goal to try to hit. Think about this, man. This dude started all this shit because of a small decrease in sales, which he attributed to the NFL letting black players kneel for the national anthem. He decided that that meant his business was losing money. And you would think, if you follow his logic, all that grandstanding on race and racism and saying these black players better stand hell up and I won't take this, I'm not standing for this at Papa John's. Well, wouldn't that lend itself to make them the official alt-right pizza chain? Like, wouldn't that mean that all the racist people who said, well, I might not like the NFL anymore, but God bless that Papa John, he is such a good Christian white man.
Because they don't support shit.
Well, also because that's not why his numbers decreased.
Right.
You know, I still have mother belief that Papa John's money went down, not because of the NFL, not because of any boycott. They simply went down because now there's a Grubhub.
Yes, and there's a lot more competition. Literally, anything you can think of from fast food to some of your favorite fanciest ass restaurants is on some kind of food delivery service. Grubhub, right. Like it's hundreds of them out there, hundreds of different delivery food services. So it literally years ago, it was the big three. Literally was the big three. After the big three, everybody else either didn't deliver, couldn't deliver, had limited delivery area and all that shit. But now Grubhub was like, hey, we can get you from one side of the town to the other side of the town. We got you.
The manager of a Papa John's in North Carolina says drivers have gone from 15 deliveries during a 4-hour shift to 6.
Ooh.
Right. And now half of those are just Karen. Which has reduced tips considerably because drivers make a living off of tips mostly.
Right.
Inside the store, he's been forced to cut workers' hours by a shift per week. Many of them make just $7.30 an hour. Well, whose fault was that? We asked, could he raise it? And he said, Papa John's came out and boldly said no.
Right.
He said he wouldn't give them insurance either.
A 10 cent extra fucking pizza.
More than 80% of Papa John's stores are independently owned franchises, yet consumers seem to view them as extensions of the corporate business.
Right. Why don't people understand that? That doesn't like a McDonald's and all that. Yeah, you're a franchise, but if the McDonald's the store fuck up, it's McDonald's the store. I don't give a fuck if Billy Bob Thornton on it. It's fucking McDonald's to me as a consumer.
Well, I feel like people do understand it, but they don't care either way.
Correct.
I mean, because as a franchisee, it's not like you get into the business that they, it's because I agree with everything that comes out of John Schneider's mouth. You know what I mean? You do a lot of analytical business model work and come up with your business model and go, okay, what's a good business to get into? Okay, pizza. Okay, which franchises have certain fees? What in this area? How does it, you know, what policies do they have in their company? You're not thinking to yourself as an investment, and one day the guy Mr. Papa John's is gonna come out and be a racist, and now that's a risk factor that I have to factor in. Like, I don't think the vast majority of people think of that shit.
That's true, but you pick certain brands because of their name and things attached to it. So, you know, it's one of those things where I can understand somebody invested in not thinking about that, but you got that name on there, so people just gonna associate y'all as one entity, even though people know that you're not.
Yeah, I think we're saying the same thing. I understand that people will associate them with that, but at the same time, I'm like, that's what you pay the franchising fee for. You want,
okay.
You do want to be associated with Papa John. People mm-hmm. see, you know, cause you could start Randy's Pizzeria if you wanted.
Yes, you could.
The problem is with that, like I said, there's no way they could have foreseen this. I don't mm-hmm. find it to be reasonable. Maybe if they signed up about 3 or 4 years ago when he started talking at Yin Yang,
right?
I could see those people that became franchisees being like, yep. Well, y'all knew this dude was kind of out there and he was the face of this and he started saying some stuff about Obamacare and all this shit,
right?
Y'all knew that he could, you know, go off the deep end,
right? Versus the people that's been like, hey, I've been here since the 80s, like, what the fuck are you doing, dawg? I've been here almost 30 years, you know, I've been having this for almost 20 years, and you know, it's one of the things where the overall company basically is going to suffer. It's like, nigga, you had to go,
right?
You know, and it's one of those things too to where if it continues like this, I could see some of the people owning them just shutting their stores down because it won't be worth them, it won't be profitable footed to them anymore.
Right, yeah, I won't blame them either, because like I said, it's very you know, it's hard to foresee, but it's also one of those things where it's definitely a risk of what they do for a living. So you know, I can understand. Oh, thank you, baby. Sorry y'all, Karen's actually refilling my water right now, live in the studio, so I'm just gonna play a song to pass the time till she gets back. I did not know I was that thirsty. I drank a big ass thing of water in about like 5 minutes. It must be from playing basketball, I don't know. All right, let me pick a song out for you guys to listen to. How about, oh, we haven't played this in a long time. Shannon Sharpe's Opus, Miles with that yak.
Feeling a mile with that yank hard yesterday, Skip. I be on these miles of hen dog, and now y'all got problems with me.
That,
let me celebrate. I be on the miles.
You talking crazy. You need to quit it, Skill. You need to quit it, Skill. You need to quit it. Let me celebrate. You talking crazy. You need to quit it, Skill. You need to quit it, Skill.
Skill. If a frog had pockets, he would carry a knife.
Hey.
Stab the snake.
Hey.
Before it ate it. If a frog had pockets, he would carry a knife.
Hey.
Stab the snake.
Hey.
Before it ate it.
I'll be on the mouth.
Back to what we were saying. Yeah, I just feel like they attached their name to this dude, not knowing necessarily, in a lot of cases, what kind of fucking dude he was.
Correct.
And it's the hazard of having a Papa John that is a person who exists that is afraid of a franchise.
Right.
You know, I'm sure when Dave from Wendy's was alive, you know, he wouldn't have come out and said some shit like this. But if he did, if you were a Wendy's franchisee, guess what? You just got fucked. Subway has a lot of franchisees, but there's no Mr. Subway. There's not a John Pizza Hut, you know. Mm-hmm. Even with Chick-fil-A, one of the reasons Chick-fil-A is able to continue to do what they do is because the dude that owns them or whatever.
It's not Mr. Chick-fil-A.
Right. Like if it was named, I forget his name, something like Kathy or something. Like if it would have been Kathy's Chicken Coop or some shit, people would have been like, yeah, it's harder to, I see this dude in commercials, I think about his bigotry and I don't want to eat there. Shit, if the Popeyes lady from the Popeyes commercial, who's, we don't even know her real name, and she's not even that person in mm-hmm. real life.
But
if she had a YouTube video service of her calling people, racial slurs or gay slurs.
Right.
It'd be like, I can't eat this motherfucking Popeyes. People are human. You know, it's the same reason that NFL players that have domestic violence, for the most part, continue to just work, but Ray Rice will never work again. Because people see that shit and it's different for them. And in this case, you see and think of John Schnatter's face when you think of Papa John, and he is basically persona non grata right now.
Yep, and it's gonna be one of those things where, you know, now he's putting him in, because they were losing money when he first started the shit, but every few months, something else pop up. Now he's suing them, like, something else pop up. I could see them just be like, here, nigga, here's some money. No, you're not coming back. No, you're gone. Take your money and move the fuck on.
Yeah.
But that's pride, because in his mind, I started this company. But sometimes the thing you started, sometimes it's actually bigger than you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's hard for people to understand that.
Let's see what else is happening in the news that I feel like talking about. Here's one of those nebulous topics that we talk about from time to time on here, and you know, we just allow, oh wait, they took it down. All right, well, no, we're not gonna talk about that. Delete.
Talk about
You know, it without the article, it feels like we shouldn't even talk about it, so I'm gonna skip that one.
Okay. Oh, so there's not nowhere else.
I can, you know, I'll try to Google it.
Okay,
I'll try to Google it. Let me see. This is awesome podcasting.
I know, live podcasting, y'all. I mean, I want to see what this topic was about.
All right, let's see what
I can see what we talking about.
See what I can do here.
Thank you.
I just didn't want to talk about it. I guess maybe they published this more than one place. Okay, all right, we'll try this one.
Okay.
This is from hercampus.com. Why it's okay to cut toxic family members out of your life. That was a thing to talk about that I wanted to bring up. Chelsea Jackson, it appears, wrote this. Let me get into it. Before you start blocking Aunt Susan and your second cousin, it's important to recognize signs of a toxic person. Because, you know, a lot of times you have family member. Now with social media and shit, a lot of times people's attachment to their family members is digitally, in addition to just, because it used to be a time like you might have an aunt who's kind of problematic, but you see your aunt at Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter,
and you don't see her no more,
and yeah, you deal with her for a couple of hours, but now your toxic aunt is everybody's problem on social media. So, you know, everybody is kind of your aunt's problem sometimes, depending on what your relationship is with people on social media. Because mm-hmm. one of the things I try to refrain from doing, I swear I do, and I do a very good job of it for the most part, going on other people's pages and arguing with folks.
Oh, that's something I don't do. Mm-mm. If I go on somebody else's page, it's to like, it's to say something funny, and then I'm out. I don't go on your page and start shit, just like I don't want people coming on my page and start shit.
But you don't even argue with people on your own page.
No, I don't. Like, I just get rid of you.
I don't even know if you get rid of people.
Sometimes, or delete the post.
Sometimes you'll get into it with people and you'll just come talk to me about it, but you won't delete it. You won't say anything back to them.
I have maybe several times, but not too often.
Yeah. I mean, at least from what I've seen, right. You normally don't really go back at people. Which is fine. It's your prerogative. This is not encouraging you. You should just be yourself. It's not encouraging you to do whatever. Everybody should navigate social media in the ways that make them comfortable.
Yeah, and also I think I filter enough where most people I interact with, or most people that follow me, particularly on Facebook, are like fans of the show, or I know you in real life and things like that. So most people do know how to behave themselves accordingly. You know what I'm saying? And most of the very, very toxic people, like the stuff I see people, I was like, ooh, I don't got none of them problems. Cause like I said, I guess I just filter a lot of those people that say a lot of ashy shit out, or either I just don't see the posts because of the algorithms of Facebook.
Yeah, I think just in general, you know, you're not a confrontational person, but you know, you do get upset about things. You just don't normally tell the person you're upset. But you'll tell me that, you know, they upset you or something.
Yes, I will.
Anyway, but like I said, I do a good job of staying out of people's shit for the most part. Like, if you got a homeboy that ain't shit, like, it's probably like once or twice a year that I see something so fucked up that I'm just like, what the fuck is this? Like, how you just gonna let this person say this shit? Like, you know, and that's just a part of myself that, you know, but I also try to stay off people's pages in general, cause,
yeah, and,
you know.
And also, a lot of times, it's one of those things where you're actually on social media a lot more than me. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times when you see people, you'll be like, hey, do you follow this person? I'm like, yay and nay. And if I'm following them, I'll get rid of them too, because if they're problematic, they're just problematic.
Right. But yeah, here's some things that, you know, you might realize somebody's toxic. They're judgmental. Constructive criticism is healthy, but persistent, unwarranted criticism can deteriorate anyone's self-esteem. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, and I can only speak from being a female. Not that men don't get it, but particularly females. A lot of the criticism for black females comes from other black females, and it's like snarky remarks.
Snarky.
Okay. I meant snarky. I'm sorry. Snarky remarks is very, sometimes blunt, sometimes rude remarks.
From family and stuff?
Yes, that they think is cute and funny. Mm-hmm. And you're like, bitch, I'm grown. I don't think that's cute, nor do I think it's funny. But a lot of times, I know for me personally, to keep the peace, sometimes I don't say things, and sometimes it's certain family members that if I know they're there, I won't even stop by. I'll be like, nah, especially if I'm in the mood, because some family members you almost have to be in the mood for. If mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, some family members, you know, your mind better be right. Like, you know, your mind better be in the right place, because if they say something sideways to you, it's going to be a problem. So, you know, it's self-care too. It's literally self-care for you. If you know you're not in a place to deal with your aunt that always got something said about your weight, or always got something said about your hair, or always got something said about your skin, or always got something say, you know, about your clothes, or always got something said about your boyfriend, girlfriend, who you dating, you know, and stuff like that. Like that's that judgmental thing that a lot of black women just think, well, that's just the way I am. Okay, that's just the way you, but that don't mean I need to be here, you know, because one thing I love, people, I, And I know a lot of people say they wish they could be a kid again. Bitch, no, I like being grown. I like my own choices. I like my own decisions. And I like, I ain't got to put up with your shit. You know, because I had to deal with a lot of that as a child. So now when you start acting crazy to me, I can pack my shit up and go back where the hell I came from. And I ain't got to put up with you or your shit. You know, some of my family members have learned, you make me mad, you won't see me for a long ass while. Cause I ain't got to be here. My presence is a presence, baby.
So it can wear down on people's self-esteem and stuff, and it does make you feel unwanted, and it makes you feel uneasy just being around certain folks.
Correct.
Another sign of a toxic person, they feed off of drama.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever turned to a family member for some personal advice? Yet somehow after you share your most vulnerable moments with them, someone you thought was a trusted ally, somehow everyone in your family knows everything about your personal life, including your distant cousin in Hungary who you never met. These are examples they put in here, but one of the things I find is, to me, like, the drama isn't always that, like, that, oh, they told my business, like, even though that's, you know, that's still a thing. I like to feel like I'm the kind of person that if you tell me some shit and it's personal, it stays at where you told me.
Correct.
So you told me this, that's between us then. Cool. But at the same time, dramas isn't always just telling somebody some shit. A lot of times it's making something about them. It's starting a fight just to have something to fight about. It's nitpicking you till you get emotional or you have a response, and then using that response to be like, oh my god, I'm the victim now, whatever. And just like that kind of perpetual like fight that is always going on. We all know people like that where they just have a perpetual fucking fight. It's like,
and it's all, they're always like, in the center of it. Always in the center,
you know. Or just like I said, even if like it's just a perpetual fight, like, and it does kind of wear you down and make you feel like, I don't want to be around this person. It's always some shit somebody did somewhere that's just always a problem, and including me, you know.
Right. And also I know for me, as I've gotten older and as I begin to have more self-confidence, and as I begin, these people that raised me, because a lot of times people that raise you, I'm just talking about from a female's perspective, female to female, people that raise you, you have some sense of respect, you have some sense of, well, you know, you wipe my shit ass and all that stuff. But you have to get to the point where you're grown and they need to respect the fact that you're grown, you know. Because I saw, and sometimes I think when it comes to people, particularly like a mother-daughter type of relationship, or like aunt and type of relationships, sometimes people forget, I'm fucking 40 now. You know, I'm 40. I'm not 10. You can't intimidate me. You can't come in here and boss me around, constantly tell me what to do, and just think I'm supposed to take your shit because you old. Just because you old don't make you right, you know. And it's one of those things where, versus cussing you out, you know, sometimes it's just best for you to make the right decision. And sometimes, like, that goes back to that self-care thing, you know, because you love your family members, but you know your auntie and them ain't shit. You know this. This is nothing shocking or surprising or new. So you have to protect yourself and protect your heart and go, I'm not dealing with that. And when you went back to drama, sometimes drama is bringing gossip to you, particularly if you're not a gossiping person. You know, sometimes you could be a person where you don't gossip. You mind your business. You keep to yourself. You don't know what the fuck nobody in the family was doing. So when y'all get there, y'all can play cards, y'all can drink, y'all can eat barbecue, fish, chicken, you know, pork chops, potato salad, lemonade, high five, how your kids doing, and you can go about your life. But yet you have some family members, they just keep mess going on around them where they constantly know everything going on and they want to see what you know. That could be stressful and drama too. And my family members are like, don't ask me that. I don't know nothing. And if I do know something, I'm not telling you.
Yeah, that's the other thing. When people bring you into their drama, it's like, well, not pick a side, or I'm not talking to so-and-so, you can't talk to him, or whatever the fuck. And it's like, dog, I legitimately am an adult that does not play those games.
Right. I'm not
so
five.
You know, like, if you and Aunt Jesse ain't talking, that's on y'all. Like, y'all niggas need to work that the fuck out, because neither one of those things have anything to do with me. And if you keep pushing it, then I won't be fucking with you, you know. But yeah, they gaslight you. If your family member continually claims that they never said something when you and everybody else knows they did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had that happen before. This shit can apply to friends too, because I've had that happen before, where somebody was like, you did this, and I'm like, no the fuck I didn't. Well, I'm not talking to you till you apologize for it. I'm not apologizing for the thing I didn't do. You're not going to make me a liar. You need to accept that we live in a reality where I didn't do that thing, or we can't fucking coexist. But we definitely don't need to be around each other, because you're gonna feel like I'm gaslighting you if you're convinced that some shit happened that I told you didn't, and I'm gonna feel like you're gaslighting me. So let's just keep from around each other.
Right, and it's also one of the things too where I don't know if this is one of the things. It's a guilty thing. Sometimes people want you to feel guilty for not doing things or being around and all that stuff, and you're like, dog, I'm grown. I got a life. I had to tell my mama that. I'm like, mama, I love you, but what I'm not gonna do is come up here all the time. Like, that's what's not going to happen. You need to find a hobby and find something else to tie your time up. I love you, but I have shit to do.
Yep, they only talk to you when they need something from you. Yep, I've had that happen before too. Like, I had somebody try to pull that shit, and I was really feeling bad for a second, because they made me feel like I wasn't there for them. And I'm like, damn, I really ain't fuck with you. And then I went, and thank goodness for cell phones and Twitter and Facebook and shit, because you have access to direct messages and all this stuff. And so I went and looked, and I was like, wait, this person has only ever hit me up when they wanted something. They've never hit me up to see how I was doing. We've never hung out just to talk. Like, you don't fuck with me. What, like, this is nothing but manipulation at this point. So but before that, I think that part of me that wants to be perfect for other people and have great relationships with folks, they were kind of gaslighting that part of me that made me be like, oh god, what am I supposed to do, you know what I mean? But then I look back and I'm like, I didn't do nothing wrong, you know. But yeah, they only talk to you when they need something is a real big indicator.
Yeah, and I've gotten to the point that if I have family members, and the only, I'm one of them niggas that, I'm gonna tell you right now, a caller ID is one of the worst things you could ever gave to me. If your number ain't got no picture, cause most people, I take a picture of them and put, so I know who it is, mm-hmm. I don't pick up the phone. Even family members, I got some family members, And I have family members that every time they called or left a message, they always wanted something. Guess what? I stopped picking up the phone. I didn't pick up the phone. I neither did I call you back, or no, I responded again. Because if I there's nothing wrong with contacting people when you need something. But if that's the only time we communicate, that's a problem. A lot of times I have people, I just call, hey, how you doing? I don't want anything. How was your day? How your kids going? Are you stressed out? Let's just talk. But that's how I function. But I understand everybody else don't function like that. And I know that could wear you down, particularly if it's the same family member over and over and over again. And people, your time is valuable. And do not allow anybody to waste your time. And you be like, I'm busy. You know, people be like, well, I'm busy. Like, I have things to do.
Yep. And that's the other thing too, is they'll only show up when they need something, and then make you feel bad for saying no.
Right.
Like, wow, you really don't, you don't check on me, you don't do this. It's like, and you think about it, you go, phones work both ways.
Yep.
You don't check on me, you call to see what, if you can get something. That's not really a friend either. It's not a family member, you know.
Yep. And like I said, and I love my mom, but that's one something I had to tell her too. She had this, you know, just the little guilt trip things where it's like, well, you don't ever call me. I'm old, y'all. I said, ain't nothing wrong with your Southern Belle. Mm-hmm. You know, it works both ways. Like I told her, if you miss me enough, pick up, call me, and I will call you back. You know, like, I don't have a problem talking and communicating with you, but I'm not going to call you just for the sake of calling you. I got friends that I've known for years, and we don't talk on the, we're not 10. I can't sit and talk on the phone for you for hours on end. People have shit to do.
Another one, the last one, they flip flop between positive and negative reinforcing. They can lash out at you, yell or insult you. However, once you ignore them after this senseless attack, they'll likely coax you back into their trap by offering you pseudo praise and support. Yeah, that's a big sign of just like abuse, emotional abuse, that like almost polar opposite approach. Like, what do I have to say to, you know, kind of like how abusers, they go hard on somebody and then they give them presents for, you know, and they, overdo the displays of affection and romance and shit, and then the person's like, okay, well, I guess I was tripping, you just had a bad day, and then it's right back to knocking you down and chipping you down and wearing you down.
Yeah, and I had to grow and mature and learn, because it's a learning process. You have to learn how to see signs, you have to learn how to make yourself more aware and more alert, and particularly me, just very naive to a lot of things. And a lot of times my family members prepared me for the outside world, because some of those same things the outside world throw at you, my family members, a lot of them have some of them same characteristics. So, you know, when you've been dealing with your family member for 20, 30, 40 years, oh, you can spot this stuff like a mile away before it even happens, because you know the characteristics, you know what you're looking for, you can see certain behavior patterns, and you be like, oh, okay, well then now, you know, this right here, I'm not dealing with this.
Yeah, I'm blessed to have a pretty dope family. Like, pretty much everybody in my family, for the most part, is either self-reliant, or we have genuine, like, love and affection for each other and positive relationships for the most part. Even the parts of my family that aren't, you know, quote unquote woke to the standards of, you know, whatever the fuck the bubble of Twitter I kind of habitate in, it would be called, they're still, like, way better than the average person that you just, mm-hmm. like, meet. Like, my family's very, like, my family's not very homophobic, they're not very transphobic, they're not very they're not that religious, to be honest. No offense to religious people, but it's a positive to me to not have a very religious family. They communicate, they're funny as fuck, and because they're funny, that's a huge reason that I think my family is so cool, is because most of my family is very funny,
right?
And because since they're funny, they deal with stuff in a way that I think is more healthy than the, like, serious brooding kind of families that I've seen. So I haven't had to cut off much of my family. Like, most of my family, you know, I see them when I see them and shit, but there's no, like, animosity, like, oh god, why this motherfucker gotta show up?
And you know, for me, and a lot of with me, as I've grown and as I matured and, you know, striving to be a better person, easier said than done, truth on that, it ain't easy growing and maturing and all that. You know, people tell you it's easy, that's the day of goddamn lie. That's some bullshit, because you have to reflect within yourself, like, it's a lot. But as I have grown and matured and things like that, I've learned to meet my family members where they are and love them where they are and know my limitations with them. Like they set the boundaries on the relationship, not me. They set the boundaries and I adjust according to the boundaries that they've set. And once you realize that, it's smoother to get along with family members to know, okay, well, we're only going to get so close because you showed me what your boundaries are and I'm not crossing your boundaries, you know, for the health of everybody and to keep this a functioning relationship.
Yeah. Also, it's just kind of scary when, you don't know where you stand with somebody and they are the kind of people that's capable of gaslighting you and doing all those toxic things. They can turn anything into something bad.
Anything.
Like, you do call them and it's, why are you calling me? You know, this is harassing. I don't want to talk to you. You don't call them, you never call. What's wrong with you? Why don't you ever call me? You know, if you say something to them, it's just sarcasm. Is this a threat? Is this a, are you talking down to me? It's like, you can't even say shit to them. And if you say anything about what they say to you, then it's a problem. If you say, well, look, I don't really like when you do this, or hey, you know, did you have to say this that way? It's just why I want to be around you and shit. You mm-hmm. know, it can be very controlling and manipulative.
Right.
So you have to take the power back for yourself. I think the main thing you have to recognize is that your family is not necessarily going to be the ones who change.
Right.
Therefore, that's where cutting off that toxic relationship comes into play. Because I think we talk about this shit on the show about forgiveness. We talk about, you know, learning how to let people make mistakes, learning how to have some patience and let people grow, kindness, communication. All these things are lovely, but all of them require some form of contrition from people and some form of communication.
Correct.
A lot of times your family members and shit, especially if they're older, they don't have any intention of quote unquote growing or any of that shit. For some folks, because they like, this is grown as I get. So if I think you being gay is abomination and I hate you, or I say I love you but I'll never accept blankety blank, they might just need to get cut the fuck off. Like, it might, it's not a thing where you're gonna convince them with any action you take that to be a better person or to be open or accepting or what any of the buzzwords, tolerance and all the shit people throw around, they're never coming an inch towards that side anyway. So you might as well move on with your fucking life. You know, it's sad to say and it hurts to say and it's easy to say, but the truth of the matter is your life will be a lot better because these relationships drain you mentally.
Yeah, they do.
Physically, you know, like,
yeah, you get depressed from them. Like, yeah, like it is a lot. And I love my family, but it is a lot to deal with the variations of personalities and different quirks that, you know, people have and things like that. And it can be a lot to navigate a lot of that. And particularly if you're like me, a very caring, open, kind type of person, always, you know, try to be, you know, pour yourself to people and, you know, be open so that people can talk and communicate with you. But yeah, after a while you're like, oh no, you're not going to abuse me and I'm not going to allow myself to be abused, you know. And you actually have to draw your lines to family members. And it's one of those things where it's very hard, like I said, when you have these relationships where these are the people that raised you, these are the people that took you to the basketball games, the football games, these are the people that came and watched you on the marching band, these are the people that came to your track meet, like, these are people that truly love you. And it doesn't mean that the relationships are quote unquote dead. It just means the relationships have to change and evolve as you change and evolve. Because sometimes, like I said, they don't change and grow. You are the one that's changing and growing, so the relationship has to adapt.
And to them, a lot of them is like, I changed your diapers, so how the fuck you gonna tell me I'm homophobic or some shit? Or
right,
how you gonna tell me I got a problem with you living out of wedlock or whatever the fuck? It's like, well, yeah, the shit you taught me was not all good, and you're never gonna believe that because you're stuck in your ways and you don't think you can learn anything from me. You think it can only flow one way.
Correct.
So you end up in those cycles. But yeah, don't, I think it's okay to cut people off that are toxic to you. And I'll just reiterate this too. Everybody can be toxic to somebody. Maybe not intentionally.
Right.
Maybe not something you're actively doing. Maybe it's not these traits that I'm expressing. But I think people not wanting to be around you and you not wanting to be around someone isn't always a bad thing.
No, it's not.
You know, I've had times where I've gotten a bad feeling about people, or I felt like we wouldn't mesh. Not that they were bad people, but that our points of view in our lives, the way we navigate them, are totally not the same. And I've tried to fight that voice and been like, well, you know what, they live their life this way, but maybe they can kick, you know, they seem to like me, they can come kick it, they seem cool. And when those, that shit disintegrates because we don't really kick it the same, we don't view or value things the same, I normally would feel bad, like, damn, like, I didn't mean for this person to feel that way. But at the same time, it's more healthy for them to go their way, and shit, to a certain extent, to have never have come my way, and vice versa. It's more healthy that way than it is for us to continue to be around each other not fully being ourselves. I rather would not be around that person, you know. And it just happens with different people, you know. Social media has really expedited this in a way because I quote unquote run into way more people than I would now in real life. In real life, I just wouldn't even kick it with this many fucking people. And when I talk about something, I don't expect random motherfuckers from, you know, all of a sudden somebody in Texas is telling me like, well, this is what I think about this, or I disagree, or couldn't you have said it this way? And you know, that's a relatively different thing than the way I navigate my life. My life is more like, I would tell a couple of friends when I play basketball with them, or maybe if I went out to lunch or dinner, we have a conversation. But I wouldn't say that thing to a million people so that I can get a million responses, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a thing that has changed, but it's also healthy that some motherfuckers don't get along and don't want to, you know, and or even if you don't necessarily not get along, but you just don't need to be around each other.
Right, and that's okay. And the thing is, also I think that a lot of people, when it comes to family members, a lot of people don't want to be ostracized or feel like they're the black sheep of the family. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you have to do what you have to do for your own mental health and a lot of times for your own sometimes safety too. Be like, you know what, it's just best for me not to be in this situation and around these people. And that goes for family, and that's why a lot of people, as they get older, their family ain't blood. Like, their family is some of their friends, you know, like that's who is their fan, that's who knows them, that's who, you know, they can share their secrets with, they have intimate relationships with, and they trust these people a lot more than family. Because that's the one thing about me, the older I got, my definition of family has changed, and my definition of family does not always mean like flesh and blood, we were born within the same, you know, family. Sometimes some of those people, excuse me, believe it or not, are complete strangers to you, truthfully. You don't know them and they don't know you.
Yeah, and I absolutely believe in that model of family. Like, my family isn't necessarily blood all the time. Like, sometimes it's, you know, your friends, the people that you, the relationships you make over the course of your life, where you like, this person is super close to me, I would tell them something, you know, if first, you know. So, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that, you know.
No, it's not. No, you know, it's one of those things where when you have family reunions and functions and things like that, how it's a generational gap in family reunions. You have the really, really young, a lot of times the really, really old, that middle group isn't there anymore. And instead of people encouraging that middle group to kind of come, it's, oh, such and such to be there, you know, they'll miss you, trying, like you said, that guilt trip, that manipulation. I was like, they'll be all right. And I got the strangest looks, but I was like, they'll be just fine. You know, and sometimes, particularly if people are used to you, if people always look at you as a child, no matter your age, a lot of times they're shocked when you speak up, and they're shocked when you speak back, and they're shocked when you be like, what I'm not gonna do is deal with this. And people respond differently to that. Some people go cool, and then some people get angry and act like you're the problem, and that goes back to that abusive thing.
Yep. So cut your toxic family members off. Cut toxic people out of your life. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have an obligation to take on that burden of life. And honestly, if they want to be in your life, they'll change. You know?
They will change.
All right, let's go to segments.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right. It's time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go all around the globe, we find different articles that make us feel fucked with, and we assign point scores from 0 to 100 in intervals of 25. Today's contestants is everybody. Once again. All right, everybody. Anne Hathaway calls out white privilege in a passionate post about the unspeakable murder of Nia Wilson. Okay, Anne Hathaway is using her platform for a powerful cause. Outraged by the fatal stabbing of 18-year-old Nia Wilson by a white man, the Oscar-winning actress dedicated an Instagram post to honoring the young black woman. Wilson and her sister, who survived the attack, were stabbed at the BART MacArthur Station in Oakland, California on July 22nd.
That's the story we covered, right?
Yes. The murder, Anne Hathaway put this on Instagram. The murder of Nia Wilson, and it's a picture of Nia smiling. May she rest in power and peace. She was denied here, in the peace she was denied here, is unspeakable and must not be met with silence. She is not a hashtag. She was a black woman, and she was murdered in cold blood. Okay. Well, I don't know what was, oh, okay, that was, okay, alright. She was murdered in cold blood by a white man. White people, including me, including you, must take into the marrow of our privileged bones the truth.
Come on.
That all black people fear for their lives daily in America and have done so for generations. White people do not have equivalents for this fear of violence. Given those givens, we must ask our white selves, how quote unquote decent are we really? Not in our intent, but in our actions, in our lack of action, question mark. Peace and prayers and justice for Nia and the Wilson family, XX. Note, the comments for this post are closed. Hashtag,
come on.
Black Lives Matter. Hashtag, anti-racist. Hashtag, no excuse. Hashtag, say her name. Hashtag, earn the right to say her name.
Come on.
Damn.
Somebody got a hold of her and somebody opened up her eyes and she actually looked. Cause sometimes when people I met, they close their eyes and run up. She's actually looked and was like, oh, this shit is really fucked up.
She's like, it ain't no Miss Anne Hathaway, okay? This ain't no Missy Anne. It's just Anne Hathaway.
Right, and she was like, I meant what I said. I'm turning the comments off because I know your bastard's going to say shit to me. No, what you're not going to do is you're going to sit and stew in the shit.
Wow, I did not know that. Of course, some people were upset with her. Somebody called her a self-hating white bitch who constantly does the most to get acceptance and approval of black people online. So fucking pathetic and cringy. Saying white people would never feel like black people is wrong. Another critic commented under her older post. There's thousands of white girls in the world who are too scared to leave their homes after they've been abused, raped, and trafficked by men. There's many white girls who have been murdered by men. Like, I get it if you're privileged as hell and think every white woman is the same as you, but that's not how it works. Racism is disgusting and white supremacy needs to die, but some of the stuff you said is just wrong.
Yeah, they missed the point of her statement.
Hathaway is not the only celebrity to speak out for Wilson. Amber Tamblyn also posted about her murder this week, though some accuse her of shaming white women. I'm waiting for your favorite white feminist to say a single word about Nia Wilson, she put.
Come on.
And she put, and that was a quote from somebody else, Delaying the Brain. And so she took that picture and put it on her Instagram and said, she is absolutely right. My fellow white women, where is your outrage on social media for the targeted murder of Nia Wilson in Oakland? Speak up. I can't hear you. Ohio feminist tide lifts all female boats. Hashtag Nia Wilson. Hashtag repost at Delaying the Brain. Like eye emojis maybe, I don't know. What I've learned over the last 6 months is that our issues are still not their issues, so I had to stop following so many of them who could be silent on the violence towards the U.S. I traded their voices for at Rachel Cargill. She put like a bunch of people to follow and others, and in turn they ceased the bloodletting that white feminism offers to offers us. Transfuse life and hope and dress my wounds, Nia Wilson. Damn, they ain't going in over there in the Instagram world. Apparently, who knew
somebody said Reese Witherspoon had said something too.
Reese Witherspoon too, man. Well, wonders never cease. Okay, I'm happy for everybody. Okay,
me too. Yeah, I guess everybody ain't sleeping.
Yeah, I guess not. I tried to bring up their Instagram page, but wouldn't bring it up for some reason. Anyway, 0 to 100, Karen.
No, I'm not fucked with.
Yeah, I gotta give it a zero, man. Shout out to Amber. Shout out to Anne Hathaway. That was pretty dope comments. And the kind of stuff people ask for all the time.
The kind of stuff that people ask for.
You know, I'm sure there's black people that found fault with that somehow, too. I did see one brother talking about some scared for our lives daily. Do not presume to speak on the black experience, white woman. I was like, if you don't get the fuck out of here.
Right.
Also, somebody did that thing on Twitter where they close up the avatar, the person talking. He had fucked up hair, so I was like, you know, let's not.
Supercuts.
Yeah, let's not get too much into this guy's state of mind, if you know what I'm saying. Let's see what else happened. Theodore Decker.
A who?
Column. Theodore Decker wrote a column.
Okay.
Column in dispatch.com. A racist words blow back on a man, family, and business. Oh, that's my favorite song. That's the song of the summer right there. That is a jam. That is a bop. And all those things. I love when a good plan comes together when a racist gets fired for doing some stupid shit that he had no business fucking doing.
Oh shit.
Nobody asked you to be racist.
Oh shit, where the party at then?
I'm gonna get to it, but I need to read the article. You know, I like to get into the whole story first. But yeah, this is one of my favorites. So what happened was, there was a conversation between two strangers that began as a traffic dispute on the north side.
Okay.
You know, the racists love the north side, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Of any city.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The north side, that's where they at.
That's their favorite, the north side. It should have ended there on Morse Road, but it didn't. But that's where Charles Lovett left it. Jeff Whitman didn't. Oh, that's very close to white man. Feeling wrong, Whitman showed up at Lovett's house. That alone was unsettling. Yes, that alone was unsettling. Lovett's house was not right around the corner from the Tuesday morning encounter. It was almost 2 miles away. People have been shot in situations that began like this, when a minor flash of road rage escalates. Given that, Lovett remained remarkably composed. He was so composed, he had the foresight to begin recording the encounter on his phone. Dun, dun, dun.
Get you every time.
Phones, the one true enemy of the racist.
Right.
a decision that would ensure that neither man would remain anonymous. Yeah, well, you know what? I'll give up my anonymity if you're attacking me for being a nigger and I'm just, I don't know, breathing. I feel like it's gonna look worse on you. Is there a reason you just followed me to my house? He asked Whitman, who sits in his van at the end of Lovett's driveway. At this point, it's necessary to point out that Whitman is white and Lovett is black. Oh, you didn't need to point it out.
Mm-mm.
We knew. we being new. So he says, what follows a 3-minute argument, which Lovett defends himself without losing the moral high ground, while Whitman keeps up with the invective. Lovett responds to the bigotry with class and a touch of wit. So I'm a nigger because you can't read street signs? No, Whitman says, Lovett is a nigger because of his sense of entitlement. When did that become the thing that makes us niggers? I thought.
No, because he feel like we have a sense of, you're not in your place.
Mm.
How dare you inconvenience me as a white man?
Seems like we can't be entitled because we're niggers. It's right, seems that's like it would work the opposite way to what he's suggesting.
Uppity thing.
Mm-hmm. He says, this is a notion that rightly confounds Lovett. This, after all, is coming from a white man who drove to a stranger's house to deliver racial slurs in a town closer to the lecture than a rant. So thank you for calling me a nigger and showing me how stupid you are. Have a good day, sir. Enjoy your life. Lovett posted a video on social media. Within hours, the internet came calling on Whitman. How? He had spoken his mind from behind the wheel of his company van with the name and phone number of his business right down the driver's side door.
Oh, so he did this on company time.
The entitlement that he must have, right?
Instead of going on your route, they was like, oh, so this is why you were 20 minutes late.
Right, like, who has entitlement now? Who are we saying is entitled? Because I feel like the dude who says, I'm in my company van feeling like I should be able to call you a nigger is the one who's actually entitled. But maybe I'm tripping.
That was open and shut case.
Right. So yeah, he shared his image online, overloaded his voicemail, and flooded consumer websites like Yelp with hundreds of negative reviews, complete with images of the KKK and Hitler. Your type is not wanting this country any longer, nor any of your heating and cooling services ever needed again, reads one. All of this has had the intended effect. It was an awful mistake, and obviously I don't know how to explain it. It ruined my life, and it ruined my family's life, Whitman said. He says that in a voicemail left to me on Thursday, 2 days after he most definitely didn't apologize when confronted by a local television reporter. Now in his message, he sounds despondent. I'm out of business. I'm completely out. I'm done. I'll never work in Columbus again. This has completely and thoroughly ruined my life. Stating the obvious here, driving to a stranger's house to harass a person with racial slurs is not a mistake. It is chosen course of action is stupid and small-minded and threatening, and a host of other descriptions now attached to Whitman's name for internet eternity. On Friday, Whitman called again. He said he chose the wrong word and says he is not a bigot.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
You chose the wrong word, cuz?
You meant what you said.
What word was you trying to choose? What was the right word?
Push monkey.
I meant to say he was a moon cricket, and it just came out wrong. I'm not even close to racist. Okay, I'm the furthest thing to racist. When I saw that jigaboo cut me off on Laurel Avenue,
I thought he had a tail.
Right. I don't even know why people think I am racist, to be honest. I don't know where that came from.
Where would you get that from?
I listen to a lot of hip hop. Okay. I just don't understand the intensity of the hate he said. You drove to a man's house to call him a nigger, but you don't understand the intensity of hate
on a company car. You didn't even make it hard for Black Twitter CSI.
Right, that's the shortest episode of Black. That wasn't even a whole episode of Black Twitter CSI.
That was it.
That's the opening credits before they start the actual episode.
Right.
What are you talking about? I just don't understand the intensity of the hate. Where is this coming from?
The same hate that you spewed.
Right.
That's the thing. You spewed a hatred, but you don't want it coming back at you.
Right.
I don't comprehend this. Don't do it then.
Come down a notch and look like a petty little brat by tweeting and Facebooking this just to open up dialogue so we can have an adult conversation. Ridiculous. In America, you should be ashamed.
Be ashamed, America, making this poor white man pay for his racism. He said that even his 86-year-old mother and 25-year-old daughter, who uses a wheelchair, have been targets of harassment campaign against him. Of course. But what about, you knew you had those people in your life before you started calling people nigger on a fucking cell phone live recording. You knew that. I can't believe they would not stop at me. You knew that the internet had no fucking roots, and you didn't give a fuck because you was mad,
and you didn't think it would be any consequences to your actions.
He said, I'm just trying to address the rudeness. You just trying to address the rudeness, huh?
So calling somebody nigga ain't rude,
right? You need to address the rudeness and the
Spider-Man does whatever a spider can, spins a web any size, catches feet just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man.
Yeah, you don't get to be the guy who says that you need to stop people from being rude. You don't get to. What's the next thing you're gonna say? I'm really upset by people calling racial slurs at me and my family. Oh, for real? It's like they drove to my house and parked in my driveway and called me a racial slur, and I just don't understand how anyone could do that. The way he said this suggests that he saw Tuesday's encounter on Morse Road as a straw that broke the camel that broke his back. The line abruptly disconnected. I called a woman as he asked and left a message. She didn't call back. I read more online vitriol directed at Whitman. There are consequences for your actions. It's 2018. No one has time for racist BS. In 2018, consequences can come in no time at all. 0 to 100, Karen.
Zero.
Wow. This gotta be a first. Zero is for me too. 2-0 fucking with black people back to back.
Mm-mm.
Wow.
Mm-mm.
Shall we go for 3?
Guess we'll try. I say we ain't playing no celebration music.
Oh, that's what you came for?
That's why I'm here.
Oh, well, I have you, sucker. I'm ready. You know what he won't be doing? Grooving his way to his job no more.
Come on. You know what? he won't be driving his company car no more.
You be calling
somebody a nigga on 2 feet, won't you?
He need to fix the AC in his own house because he need to cool down. He's a bit hot-headed.
All right, yes. Bet you won't be following nobody else home.
On the driveway, he gonna be parked in as his own.
Come on.
And that's the company car too, so you know, it's a wrap.
It's a wrap, but I think somebody said he owned the company, so that's why the company had to shut down.
He owned gold himself?
Mm-hmm. Owned gold himself.
Self-owned. Yeah. So, yeah, I thought we could jam to that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, this.
Yes!
Cool Mo D be going to a place where this man will never be going again.
If you're going to unemployment line, I go to work. That nigga gonna be going to work. Where you at? work.
I go to work like a doctor when I rock the mic. You got to like the way I operate. I make miracles happen just from rapping. I'm so lyrical.
Yes!
And I'm so on the scene. I got the potential to make you go then chill. I got the credential that if the we ten chill to make a rap and chill, then you know I will fulfill. Make a couple of mil as I build a gill for all the rappers to skill and kill the weak rappers to no frill. Hang him in effigy, if he's a sucker, hang him to the left of me, cause my right hand man is my mic stand and the microphone that I own, and my game plan is keep it at a steady pace. Ain't no reason to rush, it ain't no race. I'ma hit the top just when I wanna, and it's a matter of time, and I'm gonna, cause I know when to go ahead enter the classic Modi rap that sent you running around, holding your hand, asking your homeboy, yo man, you heard what he said? Another funky rhythm, look at your man and give him a high five, cause I'm live, run around with him, telling everybody hanging out on the block, it's time to wake up and check the clock. Punch it. I go to work.
Where you at, white man?
Work.
You ain't clocking in on the ADP.
He will not be going to work, can
Mm-mm. You won't be swiping that badge.
Mm-mm. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
That's what he said when he
all
said nigga.
Took all the reason I was working for.
Come on.
You better not. Trying to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
You sure ain't.
You definitely will not be working here anymore.
You won't be working in Columbus no more.
You know what that makes all the black people around here?
Yes!
Beyonce given unprecedented control over Vogue September issue cover.
Your fave could never.
So, Vogue September issue every year is like their most important issue.
Okay.
And Anna Wintour is notoriously a stickler for control. But you know who else is a stickler for control? Beyonce. So Vogue editor-in-chief Anna Wintour gave Beyonce unprecedented control over the cover of the upcoming September issue, sources say. The music icon hired the first black photographer to shoot a cover in the publication's 126-year history.
126 years, dog.
Mm-hmm. Not one black photographer shot the cover.
Your fave could never.
The publication is contractually obligated to give Beyonce full control over the cover, the photos of her inside the magazine, and the captions, which she has written herself and are in long form. According to two sources who are familiar with the agreement between Vogue and Beyonce, but aren't authorized to speak to the press. So the other thing is, Beyonce is not giving them an interview.
Nope. She don't do that.
She's
no
just
more.
Captioning her own photos. She is the best. She is better at this internet shit than everybody. She's just better at being famous than most. Mm-hmm. I don't think any people had the discipline or the wherewithal or any of that shit to be able to protect their family and keep them private, and at the same time control their image in such a way that she's a force to be reckoned with. You can't stop her.
Mm-mm.
She's a genius.
Mm-mm. People can say what they want to about her, but you don't get to the place that she's at without being smart and intelligent. You just can't, and be savvy and have business sense.
She's a marketing genius.
Ain't no, she
like
don't.
She's always ahead of other people, you know, because I'm sure Vogue is like, oh well, you know, you're gonna have to do an interview. She's like, I'm not doing no fucking interview.
Right. Well, guess what? You won't be having me on your cover. That's the right. thing. She, you know, her thing was like, look, if you want me, these are my stipulations. You can't beat my stipulations. I, you know, it's one of the things. She's like, I ain't got to be here.
And Rihanna's gonna, I think she's on Vogue September UK, the September issue in the UK right now. So yeah, cover subjects are usually given little to no say in their photos and are sent to cover in the week ahead of publication. A source familiar with the editorial process said. So yeah, Beyonce is like, I'll take my own pictures and tell y'all what's going on the cover, and I'll give you my own captions and what shots y'all use. So you're welcome.
Yeah, and the person that she got shooting, I think they're like 23 years old.
Tyler Mitchell, 23 years old. I depict black people and people of color in a really real and pure way. Mitchell, who has already made a splash by shooting campaigns for Marc Jacobs and Givenchy, told the New York Times in December, there's an honest gaze to my photos. Wintour typically prefers to hire photographers with more traditional experience and likely would not have selected Mitchell for a cover shoot, according to a source familiar with Vogue's editorial process.
Of course not.
The reason a 23-year-old black photographer is photographing Beyonce for the cover of Vogue is because Beyonce used her power and influence to get him that assignment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. 123 years and
26. What,
26 years, they've never picked one. I don't think, you don't have to say because of his age, she wasn't gonna pick him. He's black. Anna Wintour wasn't gonna pick him. Now he'll probably be able to get his pick of a litany of different jobs. Now he'll be able to turn jobs down now,
right,
because of this. The cover is also likely to be Wintour's last September issue, according to four sources familiar with her plans. Vogue parent company Condé Nast repeatedly has said the editor is not leaving the magazine. Anna Wintour is an incredibly talented and creative leader whose influence is beyond measure, said the CEO of Condé Nast Tuesday in a statement to the HuffPo. She's integral to the future of our company's transformation and has agreed to work with me indefinitely in her role as editor-in-chief Vogue and artistic director of Condé Nast. Beyonce's last September issue cover was 2015 and was shot by Mario Testino, a photographer Wintour had worked with frequently. Testino has not worked for Vogue since being publicly accused of sexual misconduct in the New York Times report published in January.
Right, and Beyonce didn't get to pick that. She was like, never, never, never again.
She was not given the same level of control over that cover of the issue, but it still made waves that she did not participate in the interview for it, something that had not happened in several years with non-model cover subject. She's also not granting Vogue a sit-down interview for this September issue as well. The New York Post was first to report Beyonce would grace the cover of Vogue's September issue this year. Stormy Daniels is also expected to be featured in the September or October issue of Vogue after being photographed by Annie Leibovitz. A spokeswoman for Vogue declined to comment when HuffPo reached out for publication several months ago after hearing about the possibility of Daniels being featured in the magazine. So, yeah.
I don't even read Vogue. I bet you I have a copy of it, or a hard copy, too.
Mm-hmm. 0 to 100?
Mm-mm. I'm not. I am fuck with for the fact that that young man is the first young man, black young man, probably anybody of color, actually, to have that in 126 years. But zero, because Beyonce, the thing is, Beyonce and LeBron James and some of these other people are doing the shit that people want them to do. They're in these positions and they're actually reaching and giving back and doing these great and marvelous things. And I'm not knocking people for out here putting people on the map, because he will probably be set for the rest of his life on his career, because I guarantee those pictures are going to be fucking gorgeous.
Yeah, zero for me. I'm not fucked with it at all. I get why people would be fucked with about how long it's been, but the streak is over. Fuck that shit.
It's over.
I'm happy for everybody involved, and me too. I stand a queen, because your fave would never even have the fucking would not even have the balls, as
to
she
make
says,
that demand.
To fucking be like, but we gonna do it my way,
right? You know? Or else I'm not. What is gonna happen? I'm not gonna do this.
Right. She just lifts all fucking boats around her, consistently, constantly, and there's nothing you can say bad about her. Period. All right. Let's get into some other stuff. Let's do some Guess the Race. All right. I need to get back to my Guess the Race music, though. We was partying a little too hard.
We were partying hard, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
Ba-dum-bum.
That's right, it's time to Guess the Race. The number one game show going across all of podcast land, where we read and play news articles from all over the globe. And we asked our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race. And of course, they all play along and they're all racist. All right. Let's see. The first one. A hapless finger gun robber chased off by Paynton shops. Oh, from Paynton shops. A robber who pretended he had a gun by sticking his finger in his pocket, but was seen off by two businesses he tried to rob, has been jailed. That's pathetic. Brian Cawley demanded cash from a Tesco and a bookmaker in Paynton, Devon, but fled when his bluff was called. He also tried to break into a home, but was confronted by the 87-year-old householder. Oh, he is bad at robbery.
Find another career, baby.
Cawley admitted two attempted robberies and a burglary and was jailed for 3 years and 4 months. The court heard 53-year-old Cawley went into Tesco at Bedford Shops on 22 April and threatened to shoot staff unless they handed over cash. In Tesco, a cashier told him, if you're going to do it, then get on with it.
Damn. Oh, wasn't expecting that.
That's some Clint Eastwood. Who tried to rob Clint Eastwood? Like, what?
Then I look. I got a 12-hour shift. Fuck it. Do what you got to do.
Nigga, I would die for this $5.25 an hour. I don't give a fuck. I already work at Tesco. How much worse can it get?
Right?
Staff and the bookmaker also refused to give him money and said they would call the police. He was tracked down 5 days later when he broke into a house and confronted by an 87-year-old who also saw him off.
Duh!
Damn, he just ran into all the people that didn't have nothing to lose, it seems.
87, you definitely ain't got nothing to lose.
I'm ready for the devil to come get me.
I know. Either you or him. Come on, I'm ready.
Sentencing him, the judge said, fortunately, people stood up to you. Even if they didn't think you had a real gun, they could not be sure. And the lady who told you to clear off must have been fearful of what you might have done if you did have a gun. Warren Robinson, defendant, said Cawley was a heroin addict desperate for money who did not succeed in stealing anything and left without causing any violence. Guess the race.
White.
Karen's going white. Let's check the chat room. Let's wait on these Negroes to comment. All these white people standing their ground. He gotta be black. Go ahead, make my day, white. You feeling lucky, punk? White boy Rick White. White. The correct answer is white. He was really bad at robbery.
Really, really bad at robbery.
I mean, if you I don't know why in my mind, but if you put I don't know why, but in my mind, if you put your finger in your pocket and pretend it's a gun, you immediately start talking like a 1920s gangster to me. Put them up, stick them in the air, you see, get them high, reach right into the sun, you see. Don't no copper's ever gonna get the best of me. You tell them old muddy two boots came in here and stole everything.
I know. Give me all your gold coins.
Put them in the sky. Like, I don't know why, but in my mind.
You're not gonna catch me, coppers.
We gotta beat it. The fuzz is here. Can't.
Riding them cars without seat belts and shit.
If you have fucking finger guns, there's no way you like, I'm about to rob this motherfucker. This guy, you gotta be talking, you gotta be talking like a Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Yeah.
Come on, Rocco. Gotta stick him up.
Oh, he gotta be the worst criminal ever.
Wife admits to killing her husband after he purchased porn.
Oh, it ain't, isn't that, divorce him then.
I mean, who buys porn anymore? I don't blame her.
Nah!
Man, he caught him stealing porn, okay. Streaming porn. Patricia Hill is the first to admit it. She killed her husband after he purchased porn. Now Hill, 69, has been arrested and charged with capital murder after her husband, 65-year-old Frank Hill, was found dead. Frank Hill. Hope it's not related to Hank Hill.
I hope not either. I see he like him a little older.
Bobby. The Jefferson County Sheriff's Office received a 911 call around 3 p.m. Saturday from Patricia Hill herself. She told police she had shot her husband. Deputies responded, and they found Patricia Hill standing in the front yard. She was immediately detained. The body of Frank Hill was found on the floor inside a utility shed at their home. He had suffered 2 gunshot wounds, at least 2.
Oh!
During an interview with authorities, Patricia Hill said she had arrived home, walked to the utility shed to confront her husband. She said she disagreed with his purchase of video pornography, so she canceled the order. Frank Hill managed to place another order. Oh, now see, that's where he fucked up. That's when it went from a mild stabbing to 2 shots. Patricia Hill told investigators that she had asked her husband to leave the shed, but he refused. This is my masturbating shed, and I'm never getting out of here, Patricia. You hear me? I'm sorry, right. Patty.
He was like, I'm old, and you ain't gonna stop. What you gonna do, woman?
I will die. You have to pry this porn from my cold, dead hands.
She was like, well, we can arrange that.
Give me liberty or give me porn. She then went inside their home, grabbed her .22 caliber pistol, went back to the shed and shot her husband twice, hitting him in the head and the leg.
Good God.
Then she returned to her home, called 911 and reported the shooting. She's currently being held at the WC Dub Brasswell Audit Detention Center without bond. Guess the race of Patricia Hill.
White, but shit, it wasn't that serious. I'll leave you before I blow your brains out.
For buying porn. Well, did he like just start buying porn? I mean, like, why was that so shocking she had to kill this nigga?
You know, like I said, he old, so he probably ain't got no Wi-Fi at the house, so you know, he probably ordered the box set.
These niggas be lying, man. You can't be lying to your wife, man. Just tell the truth. I watch porn, okay? Maybe we shouldn't get married if you can't handle this, because I'm gonna be watching it.
Right.
You know, and niggas be lying their whole life and finally get caught in the bat cave at fucking 75 and now you dead. She called 911, White. She was cucking upset, White. She called the police on herself, White. Sounds White. Cuck queen, White. Oh man, I guess nobody thought it was the BBC. So the correct answer is White.
Somebody said hashtag no porn Patty White.
right pornography, no porn. Yeah, she was down on the porn, man. That dude also, what a horrible way to find out like your granddaddy did,
right?
Because
it's gonna be all over the news and shit.
What happened to Grandpa Frank? Paw. Oh, don't read the news. He died in a very tragic way. It's just,
why grandma in jail?
He ordered some Bang Bros and now he's dead. All right, let's go to the bonus round.
Double the points in the race. Double the points in the race.
That's right. Double the points, double the race in the bonus round against the race. So far, Karen is 2 for 2.
Yay.
We'll see if she can keep it all the way up.
I will try.
All right. We'll see. Let's see. How about, a Gretna doctor was caught on camera fondling a patient.
Oh!
A patient who was suspicious of a doctor's behavior during an exam set up a hidden camera during a second visit and caught the Gretna physician fondling her breast and genitals. Dr. James Dice, 57, was arrested Thursday and booked on 2 counts of sexual battery and 1 count of civil battery. Dice practices internal medicine. His business, Dice Medical Center, is located at 12 West Bank Expressway, Gretna, with a satellite office in Slot L. Dice only sees only patients referred to him by attorneys. Okay. The victim, a 35-year-old woman, told police she felt Dice made inappropriate sexual advances towards her during a previous visit for back issues. At her next appointment, the woman set up her cell phone in her purse to record video of the exam. She presented us with video of him fondling her. By the way, she knew they wouldn't believe her unless she had video.
Right.
It tells you a lot. Based on her complaint and the video, detectives obtained a warrant for his arrest. They took him into custody. He declined to speak with investigators, according to Lawson. On Monday, he directed questions about the matter to his attorneys. They declined to comment. He's booked in Jefferson Parish Correctional Center, but was released the same day. Oh, $20,500 bond. Guess the race of Dr. James Dice.
No. The Dice was white.
The Dice Man. Oh!
Did he roll that? Guess he rolled that snake eyes.
A plus D says, that dicey motherfucker is white.
Oh.
Your tits catch these hands white. Dr. Strange, white. White. Yeah. Released the same day, white. Everybody's going white on this. It's 3 whites in a row, and you guys are all correct. Damn. Yeah, that's some, like, speaking of ordering porn, that dude thinks life is
porn. Oh.
You can't just grab no, and look at him. Don't nobody want him to grab their titties anyway.
Right?
Not that it'd be okay if it's attractive, but.
He looked like the beginning of them people that were like, I need the headline for men.
Yeah, he definitely wasn't confused, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-mm.
Oh, I just thought she was really into it. I had no idea that, this,
she was
going. How was I supposed to know?
She was going to record it. He probably did that to a lot of other women.
Mm-hmm.
She was not the first person.
All right, we'll do one more, okay, since we...
Yay! All
right, here we go. This is the fourth one, Karen, the bonus one for all the marbles.
Okay.
A woman spends hours at a Harvey bar without ordering a drink and then comes back to rob it.
Ah! Yeah!
Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office. Oh, New Orleans. Oh, great. Arrested a woman accused of robbing a Harvey bar at gunpoint. Lavonzel Jordan, 28, of Marrero, was booked Tuesday morning with armed robbery and illegal drug possession, according to Lieutenant Jason Rivard, spokesman for the department. She's accused of a July 16th holdup at Peggy Sue's Lounge.
Peggy Sue's?
Investigators also arrested Jordan's alleged accomplice, Kelly Bellinger, 31. I don't know their race. Their picture isn't in here. Bellinger is accused of acting as the getaway driver. A female bartender at the business told investigators she was cleaning up around 11:45 p.m. when a person wearing a gray ski mask walked into the bar, pulled out a pistol, and demanded money. According to authorities, the robber walked behind the bar and pistol whipped the bartender. The bartender fought back, starting a tussle that ended with the robber kicking the woman in the head several times and ordered her into the restroom. Meanwhile, a witness outside who spotted the ski mask clad robber walked into the bar, told deputies she decided to go in and confront the suspect. Oh, wow. That's brave of you to not call the police. The witness said she turned around and headed back outside the bar when the armed robber told her to get the fuck out. Hey, can I help? Get the fuck out. Okay, well, I tried. The robber made off with an undisclosed amount of cash from the business and the bartender. Detectives reviewed the surveillance video from the business and learned from other witnesses that Jordan, who matched the physical description of the robber, spent several hours in the bar earlier in the evening without ordering a drink. Suspicious much?
Right, I mean, not a food, not an appetizer. I mean, you just sit there.
Detective Stephen Keller identified Jordan as a robbery suspect and obtained a warrant for her arrest. She was taken into custody Monday night. Bellinger was arrested Monday and booked with theft and obstruction of justice. The obstruction charge stems from allegations she tried to destroy evidence. Jordan was booked in the Jefferson Parish Correctional Center in Gretna, where she was still being held in lieu of $205,000 bond. Guess the race of Lavonzel Jordan.
Lavonzel, that's a Negro.
All right, let's check the chat room and see what they believe. Ralph Angel's next baby mama black. This part. Set it off black. Was able to stay in the bar all night without buying a drink. That's some nigga shit, black. She also did not tip and complained about how much alcohol was in the drink she didn't order. She wouldn't have tipped anyway, black. Lavonzel, why am I on that? I just said the same joke. She must be a nig, black. Sounds like Lachat, black. The correct answer is black. She doesn't look too pressed for a thief. She just like, sometimes you rob people and you get caught. Anyway, how's everything going in here in jail, guys? Tough crowd. All right, let's get to the sword ratchetness. I scrolled down too far. Now, here we go.
This is how Papa John's gonna be fighting Papa John's over that money.
Then I guess somebody's gonna get sliced.
Either way it goes, nobody's gonna walk away with a whole pie.
They just gotta get their piece of the profits.
See, that's what happens when you don't get hand tossed.
I don't know what that
last one. That didn't make no sense. Oh, like throwing hands, tossing?
Oh, so you don't want to see these hands tossed or something?
Yes.
Like that. Okay.
I phrased it badly.
That's fine. You knew there was something there.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. And honestly, when you get going like that, there's no toppings it. All right. Let's move on. These jokes are getting crusty. a naked Muncie man held hostage with shower rod after being attacked by samurai sword.
Oh shit!
A 25-year-old Muncie man is accused of holding another man hostage after attacking him with a samurai sword. Muncie Police Department officers arrested Justin Shields, guess the race, white, early Wednesday morning after responding to a domestic call. According to court documents, the arriving officer found Shields standing in the bathroom at the bathroom door and naked. Standing at the bathroom door and a naked bleeding man huddled in the shower.
Oh!
The man said Shields had stabbed him and then kept him in the bathroom with a shower rod. Shields faced multiple charges including battery with a deadly weapon and criminal confinement. Damn, how did they know to get there?
They had SOS in his iPhone?
Yeah, like they didn't even say how they knew how to get to, that something was happening. Somebody must have overheard it or something. I don't know. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for coming out to our TED Talk. All right, we appreciate y'all.
Yeah, we do. Thank you.
We will be back tomorrow. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.